I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are in our 7 o'clock hour of the morning shift. It is brought to you by Zero Res Smart, lasting clean. The Atlanta Falcons roll on with another victory, beating the Cowboys 27-21 on Sunday.
Yeah, big win. Yeah. Look, this is two in a row.
All right, let's start it off.
I mean, like two in a row. So you're 6-1 in the conference. I don't think that can be understated, because let's just say if Tampa Bay loses tonight to Kansas City,
fingers crossed,
you essentially have a 3-game lead in the division, because you're up 2 full games and you have the head-to-head tiebreaker with them. So essentially, you have a 3-game lead in the division, which is huge. You could go to New Orleans, win your third straight, move to 7-1 in the conference if you can take care of business, and you're going to be 7-3. Now things are looking pretty good. You're 6-3 for the first time since, I believe, 2016. I had to double check that, but I think that's the number. And you didn't allow a team to come into your trap with their backs against the wall.
Don't.
Yes.
It's 7 o'clock.
And beat you, like you did against Seattle.
Don't do this.
The trap. Take over the trap.
Don't do this.
No, you know what I want to point out real quick, too, is...
You didn't know I was going there, did you?
No, it hurt my soul.
I did. Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Walk into your trap, take over your trap.
That's right, Kirk. That's right. They weren't able to do that. Dallas and those guys weren't able to do that. We need to talk more about Dallas's coaching, some of the decisions we saw, the fact that you got 12 men on a fourth down, 10 men on a third down, a lot of that stuff. But I do want to talk a little bit about the pass rush getting home, and we mentioned it, 3 sacks yesterday, 2 of those on back-to-back plays by Grady and Arnold Ebiketie, and what was different. And I think we talked about it a little bit on postgame, Goforth and I. We have talked on this show about the inability, it seems like, to get penetration on the twist games, right? We run a lot of stunts up front, a lot of TEs, ETs, linebackers doing different things. These guys have not been able to get penetration. The first guy through is not able to get penetration and get the offensive lineman on the twist games on 2 different levels. And yesterday, especially on those 2 sacks, but honestly numerous times throughout the first half and the whole game, you did a great job as the first man through getting the offensive lineman on 2nd level, not allowing those guys to kind of bump hips and pass you off. And when you're able to do that, right, when the first guy gets penetration, you end up with 2 options in the backfield. So Grady Jarrett gets penetration, then you have a looper coming around that obviously can get home as well, and either one of those guys can get the sack. And that's exactly what happened yesterday numerous times. You flushed Dak. Dak ended up with 30 rushing yards, which surpassed his season total. But I think I can live with that based on your ability to kind of get those offensive linemen on 2nd levels.
Well, let's talk about the other quarterback in this game, Kirk Cousins. 222 total yards and 3 touchdowns, capping off a 144.8 passer rating this season. Just incredible what he has been able to put together here with the Falcons. And he joined Dave Archer, analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, for postgame. And this interview is brought to you by Margaritaville at Lake Lanier, at Lanier Islands, an easy 1-hour drive from Atlanta.
Kirk, for me, watching the game, it just looked like a workmanlike performance. You went out, and you and I were talking just before you came on. There was some things probably, and maybe in every game, but there were some things left out there. But just a solid performance on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, there was a solid nature to the game. It was workmanlike. I went in at halftime, and I said, this feels like a game we have to grind out and just one play at a time, earn our way. Was pleased with, much of what we did today, but... would have loved to pull away late more than we did.
The evolution of both the pass game and the run game and the way they are blending to one, with one another, you like the direction that's going?
I do. I thought our run game was really positive today. I think the challenge is any negative runs that kind of set us back. If we can avoid those negative runs and just kind of stay in positive gains, it would really help. But, Dallas made us earn it, and And, you know, it was, like you said, workmanlike. That's kind of how it felt.
Did they show something or try to maybe change their stripes a little bit? A lot of aggressiveness, yeah. A lot of tight coverage trying to yeah. make your guys win?
Yeah, it definitely was tight coverage, and they challenged us in that aspect. Last week against San Francisco, they played some previously unscouted looks, and then I think they did that a little bit again today. I told Coach Zimmer after the game, I just thought he did a nice job of kind of keeping us on our toes and having to keep seeing what they were doing because it wasn't an easy look, plug and play each time. It was kind of a constant changeup.
If there is such a thing, kind of in the dog days of the season now, mid-season now, trying to keep your stride or maybe extend your stride, what's your message as a guy that's been around this game for a while and been in these situations mm-hmm. before? Now you got a divisional game coming up next week.
Yeah, I think mature football teams just find a way to keep standing up, keep coming back, keep stacking strong performances. They don't ride the roller coaster. You know, we got to, learn from this game and just come back ready to go on the road against a team that's ascending. And so, will be a good challenge for us.
All right, last thing for you. Our Solomon Brothers player of the game was Darnell Mooney today. 5 catches, 88 yards and a touchdown. And Darnell's made a bunch of plays for you already this year. What is it about him that you like so much about getting him the ball?
Yeah, he's got great movement skills. He's a total pro, as professional of a receiver as I've been around.
Wow.
Just handles himself really well. He's very aware, and he's really good movement skills. He's a tough cover.
All right, man. 6-3, good win.
Yep, keep building.
So, Kirk last year through 8 games before the injury was completing 69.5% of his passes. He had thrown for 2,331 yards, 18 touchdowns, 5 picks. Through 9 games with the Atlanta Falcons, And some of you might say throw one of those games out because we don't even I don't even recognize.
Yeah, that'd be me. I'd say that. Throw it out. I think he said that, actually.
He also said the Saints were ascending, so I don't know if I agree with everything Kirk says. But,
don't
you know,
disparage him about it.
I agree with him. Through 9 games this year with the Falcons, he's completing 69.2% of his passes for 2,328 yards with 17 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. So when people said, what are you getting coming off an injury? Did you overpay? Yada, yada, yada. I think that they're getting what they paid for because Kirk Cousins has been phenomenal. The last 2 games, he's thrown 7 touchdowns, 0 picks. Tiff, you said something like
144.8.
Yeah, through those two games. I mean, it's been phenomenal. And he's got guys like Darnell Mooney, and Darnell Mooney has been worth every penny, too. And don't forget, that's a guy that Kirk watched, Mike,
right,
in Chicago when he was with Minnesota, and he said, go get him. I want him.
Right, and here's what else I'll remind you of. Who would you have rather had yesterday at the quarterback position, Kirk Cousins or Dak? I think the answer for me is easily Kirk Cousins. And you talk about money, and everybody's like, well, you went out and spent big money on the quarterback position. Guess what? Dallas did too, and right now, Dak doesn't look that much more agile or athletic than anything Kirk Cousins is doing. I was frustrated at the fact that I think he had like a 22-yard rush at one point. We mentioned last week he had only had 20 yards rushing on the season going into this weekend's game after having about 240 last year. He just hasn't tried to run. I don't know if that's a coaching decision coming all the way from Jerry or whatever it is. He reels off the big run yesterday. I'm like, man, I knew that was coming at some point just because yeah. It seems like we can't always get home and get guys on the ground in the backfield. But Dak even throwing it downfield, CeeDee Lamb and him couldn't get things going. I just thought that our secondary really played a nice game yesterday, and that's a hat tip to Jimmy Lake and Raheem.
Yeah, you think so? Well, what if I told you that CeeDee Lamb was targeted 13 times yesterday?
Monday night on ESPN. What if I told you?
Let's do it this way. If Friday morning I said, hey, we're going to sit here on Monday and say that, and I'm going to tell you that CeeDee Lamb was targeted 13 times, what do you think his numbers would look like?
Yeah, a lot better than they were.
Yeah, you're saying that he would do better than 8 catches for 47 yards without a touchdown?
You would think.
Yeah.
Now, that's taking the Dak injury, the CeeDee Lamb injury, and everything else out of it.
But I also give credit to, because we, and I want to make sure we are talking about it enough, because this is was the dominant conversation, if I can get my words together, last week going into this game, which was the Falcons' pass rush. So give some credit to those guys who had 3 sacks and were able to put in some pressure.
Yeah, and it was the second drive that they got after it immediately, and they completely kind of changed. Caden Ellis was a huge part of the game yesterday for the Falcons. Him and Arnold Ebiketie, to me, had their best games of the season. I saw great stuff from those guys.
Yeah, and let's not forget, was it Nate Lehman on the fourth down, CeeDee Lamb's speed sweep?
No, it was Caden.
Was it Caden that jumps through, grabs the collar, and able to bring him down? I thought that was a massive play. And you talk about it. I said we were going to talk about Mike McCarthy. He slams the iPad down at one point in the game yesterday. They're trying to go for it on a fourth down. They have too many men in the huddle.
Yeah.
The other time on a third and four, I think Dan Orlovsky is talking about it on social right now. They have 10 men on the field for a big third and four swing pass to Bijan on a screen. This just was – it was a comedy of errors at points for Dallas. And I think that I don't want to spend too much time focusing on Mike McCarthy because I don't know how much longer he'll last in Dallas. But I think on the flip side, it's a good time to kind of talk about Raheem Morris and how – situationally, we've been elite, it feels like, at times. Because, look, you're back-to-back weeks now against a fake punt that you were ready for.
And you scored touchdowns after those.
Right, you shut those down. There's so many things that I feel like situationally we don't give Raheem Morris enough credit for in terms of these. Look, we've had two times we've won, obviously, against Philadelphia and then against Tampa late in the game where your clock management has been elite clock management by Raheem Morris. So, if there's any more questions about him, then you want to look at Dallas and say, well, Mike McCarthy's not it. Make sure you are also crowning Raheem Morris and what he's been through the first half of this season.
Boom. When we come back here on the Morning Shift, the latest NFL headlines. And we've got Monday Night Football tonight too, guys. So we'll be right back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are going in the huddle, give you the latest NFL headlines, and we can start with an NFC South division foe in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They have Monday Night Football tonight against the Kansas City Chiefs, but with the Falcons win over the Cowboys, I think they've taken five out of their last six games, I believe.
Yeah, they're 5-1. 5-1 their last six.
And that includes a win.
Two
wins over the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
So they're sitting in the driver's seat in the NFC South. But again, it's the Bucs and the Chiefs tonight on Monday Night Football.
And it's big. I said it earlier, and I don't think it can be understated that you're always pulling for Tampa Bay and New Orleans and the Panthers to lose unless they're playing each other. And then you pull for the Panthers to beat either one of those two teams because they actually have been decent the last few years. But if Tampa loses tonight, they're 4-5, and you're 6-3, and you essentially have a three-game lead in the division.
Let's go.
Because you have two full games,
let's go,
record-wise, and then you own a 2-0 record, which is a tiebreaker, which is essentially, to me, stands for as like a third game.
Yeah, the number tonight is 9 for the Chiefs. It seems a little bit stout, but I think that shows you how much everybody kind of expects the Bucs to struggle without their two top wide receivers. And, we'll see if they can get it done. But, Kansas City, pretty good football team. I don't know if anybody said anything about that lately, but, yeah, pretty good.
I would co-sign on that. The Raiders, things just keep not going well for them. They have made a move now and fired their offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, after just 9 games. So they now fall to 2-7 on the season. Why are you chuckling?
Because they send it. Well, two reasons. One, they send a tweet out that says, we have relieved Luke Getsy and two other assistant coaches, which is funny because I think that's probably what those guys are feeling right now, knowing that their contracts will be paid. They don't have to deal with the Gardner Minshew, Desmond Ridder train. And if I'm not mistaken, did Desmond Ridder throw a touchdown pass yesterday to Brock Bowers?
I don't know. I didn't catch that. Did he do that?
He
came in. I'm looking at the box score right
somehow
now.
I missed that one on the post game.
I am almost positive that happened because I was standing
there. Wow.
Yeah,
he did come into the game.
Awesome.
So he did come into the
game.
And
he did throw a touchdown pass to Brock Bowers.
He was benched for Ritter. Gardner Minshew was benched for Ritter in this game.
It cracks you up. And it cracks you up that the OC was the one like, oh, Joe Burrow throws for 5 touchdown passes yesterday. And it's like they have no answer defensively. But you can't clean house on that side because it's kind of Antonio Pierce's bread and butter. It's dysfunctional, man, to say the least.
One of the things I saw come out. Did you want to complete a thought on
this?
No, go
ahead.
One of the things I saw come out in the aftermath is it was Albert Breer who was just tweeting about how the OC who's in D.C., right? Kingsbury?
Mm-hmm.
Cliff Kingsbury. I wanted to butcher his name. Cliff Kingsbury. The Raiders were in talks with him. And it's not to say that things would have changed, but the hang-up on getting him there was, I believe, on a third year he was trying to get on a contract and it didn't work out. Not saying he'd have the same success there that he's having in D.C.
No.
But
they're dealing with no quarterback right now.
It's important because it is in some ways changed not one but two franchises, because I can't necessarily sit here and tell you that Jaden Daniels is having maybe the same success. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be a good player, but I think Cliff Kingsbury is the perfect OC for him. And I think that's if he doesn't get credit, that's not fair considering all the credit we gave your boy in Houston with C.J. Stroud.
Bobby Slowick. And here's the thing, too. If I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I've already been an NFL head coach. I am clinging on to Dan Quinn as if my life depended on it for the rest of my coaching career, because I think that they fit so well together in the way they're able to. I'm not saying that they're going to go win Super Bowls together and all that, but I just think – as long as Dan Quinn is a head coach or even a DC in the NFL, if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I am sticking so close to Dan Quinn and where he's at, because you just look, it's like, man, yeah, don't need to be a head coach, been there, done that. Maybe you feel like you have something to prove, but he's doing so well with what Jaden Daniels is right now, and I think that offense just kind of mirrors Cliff Kingsbury and what he brings to the table.
I'll get you some injury updates before we move on. We have talked about on this show Dak Prescott. He's having an MRI today on a hamstring injury that he sustained during their loss to the Falcons, possibly also dealing with the ham injury as well. We've not gotten a latest update on that. And then when you look at the Saints, their star receiver, Chris Olave, because they're next up for the Falcons, he was carted off after taking a hit to the head in the first quarter of their game against the Panthers. So that's a significant blow to a Saints squad that has been on the downtrend.
Yeah, Tiff, we're unfortunately, because I'm a big Chris Olave fan, and I know that, you know, look, he plays for the Saints, whatever, but he's a good player. He's been a good player. We're starting to get into dangerous territory for him. I mean, we're starting to inch towards Tua Tagovailoa stuff. I mean, he just came back from a nasty head injury. And this one, you know, he's kind of motionless on the turf for a little bit, and you get the update that he's got feeling in his extremities. But man, that's we're getting into a range with him that's getting to be kind of scary.
Well, the history is he had one in 2020 at Ohio State. He had one in 2022 in the NFL. He had one in 2023 in the NFL. These are just ones that we have documented and medically met with doctors. October 13th, he had the concussion against the Bucks. The 27th, he was evaluated for a concussion, and then yesterday he was taken to the hospital for a concussion. You're absolutely right. It is getting to be scary territory, and to me, it might be even scarier because he's a guy that is in a more – I'm not taking anything away from a guy standing in the pocket and taking hits, but this guy's coming across the middle taking hits,
right?
A little bit more physically demanding.
Can't really protect him from that.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but I had multiple games on yesterday. Saquon Barkley with the acrobatics. Did you guys see the play where hurdles
it's
over
nuts.
Backward, like a backwards hurdle?
Very Olympian type stuff.
Yes. He's been rejuvenated.
I'm not going to lie to y'all. When I saw it and I was in slow motion, I was like, that helmet is really close to the danger zone. That helmet gets about, I don't know, 3 inches higher. He's in a bad way right now.
Sometimes just getting clipped is worse than getting a full blunt of it. You know what I mean?
No, you did not just say.
Yeah, not a glancing blow.
Clip can hurt.
Yeah, I agree.
I know you did not just say that. Anyway, the Eagles beat the Jags 28-23, but the season Saquon's having now, if you're in New York, I'm sorry.
They knew it was coming,
too.
I mentioned this yesterday, Tiff, and I'm glad you brought this up. I mentioned this on the postgame show because anybody that watched the spring edition of Hard Knocks, Brian Daboll asking Jaden Daniels if he wanted to be the starting quarterback for the New York Giants. And these teams face off yesterday. Jaden Daniels goes off, has a great day. And you look at the all-encompassing parts of that entire ordeal, and basically, you know, the owner coming in and saying, you know, Saquon's our most popular player. I hope he doesn't go to the Eagles. Well, turns out he did, and he's having a great year right now. He's one of the top guys, top three, I believe, in all-purpose yards in the NFL. He's been spectacular.
He has been, and there's still time, right, before the NFL trade deadline, which is November 5th. So there's lots of
tomorrow,
of rumors.
4 o'clock,
and,
I think,
you know,
right?
Yeah, that would be, yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's interesting. You'll know the kind of the fate of your team as far as what you're going to have, and other than, you know, just kind of some guys that are off the street or practice squads and stuff. If there's a bigger big-time player coming over, you know, it's going to be tomorrow.
Za'Darius Smith from the Browns has been one of the names that has popped up. I saw the reports of that yesterday. And obviously, Ojulari from the Giants is a name that keeps getting kicked around in Atlanta Falcons circles. I'm probably a little bit more hesitant than most people because I think when you look at it, you've already given up next year's third for Matthew Judon. It's like, how much of those future picks do you want to get rid of? But it is what it is at this point, man. You need some help and something to rejuvenate, and hopefully they can try to find something, whether it just be somebody on the roster right now or somebody they can bring in.
Well, I think somebody proposed that the guy that had proposed a D'Angelo Malone trade has taken him off the board now because he's came
right.
in
he was getting
and
some action yesterday.
So a guy told all me right. that we could trade Elijah Wilkinson and a seven for
you said
for
a guy told you this
yeah,
on
yeah. And apparently that'll get us Myles Garrett. So let's do that.
I do want to say Washington reportedly has been kind of this is according to Jonathan Jones of CBS, kind of poked around to see who they could get in the receiver market to give Terry McLaurin some help as they make a playoff push. But I also want to I heard this on listening to the TV yesterday. People are calling to try to inquire players or trying to figure out if they can get to Washington. Like, times have changed significantly there, where you had guys wanting to get the heck out of there with that franchise, and now you've got people trying to find out how they can become a part of that team.
Yeah, you got rid of a bad owner, and you got a good head coach who's a even better person.
Use the word charismatic.
Who people want to be around and play for. I told a person on this show that Dallas Cowboys' biggest loss in the offseason was Dan Quinn, and someone didn't agree with me. And now I believe I've been proven right.
What? Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go. So we're just going to dig up stuff from 4 months ago and then act like we're
oh, does it make it any less accurate?
Bo Cephas
over
here.
Does it make it any less right, Michael?
Well, look, if we just go and dig up comments from 4 months ago, you can probably find 10 more that you were dead wrong on. So let's just pick and choose.
I don't recognize those. Only the ones I'm right on, sir.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. What you got for Michael?
You told me D. Ritty was going to the Pro Bowl last year, too, at some point on this show. Let's talk about that.
Well, I mean, he could have been an alternate just as much as Huntley was that one year.
Hey, look, man, when we come back, we're going to talk more Falcons. I want to talk to you guys about who was the best player yesterday, not named Kirk Cousins or Bijan Robinson. We'll go deeper into the numbers on that. And then the tickets heard around the world last week. I made my appearance at the Atlanta United game. I'll take you all the way through the magical win that was. We'll hear some Mike Conti as well on those calls. Just a crazy night down at the Benz and yesterday at the Benz. So good weekend. We'll talk about that on Mic'd Up. Coming up next. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Hodge, Mooney, and McLeod to the left. Snap to Cousins. Off the 11 after the loss of two. Kirk throws. Oh, my heavens! Wide open! Ray McLeod! Touchdown, Atlanta!
That was Wes Durham on the call, along with Dave Archer on the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. I did not give you a shout-out this time, but sorry about that.
It's all right. You also didn't call me out either.
I also did not.
Good.
Also did not call you.
It's appreciated sometimes.
Well. No, I mean, hey, we do what we can. But the Falcons go on to beat the Cowboys 27-21.
6-3, first place in the division. 6-1 in the conference. We should be ecstatic as Falcons fans right now because you've won 21 games in the last 3 years, and you went 7-10 every stinking year. And now you're sitting at 6-3 through 9 games. Mm. You're 4-0 in the division with a rivalry game this week going to New Orleans against a team that's lost 7 straight. They're going to be in a desperation mode. Now it's another game where there's a team where they're back against the wall and you got to go into their trap and you got to take over their trap. And so
Let me tell you something. That is a trap.
Take over your trap.
Yeah. There's going to be too many people looking at what their score was against Carolina, and they're going to say, oh, you know, we should go in. Dude, I'm just telling you, Alvin Kamara is an absolute dog on the ground right now. And I don't know if you noticed, but Rico Dowdle was not supposed to get what they did on the ground. You know, for Dallas, and they were able to run on us at will at times, it felt like. So
that was a weird run game for them yesterday, because they did it at times and got nothing, and right. Then they got a couple of gash plays. Like Dowdle got a couple of, I think, 9 or 10 yard carries, and then you had a couple of Dak runs that kind of bloated that number.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought it up like that, because I asked you a minute ago going to break, and I wanted to get your guys' take on who was the best player not named Bijan or Kirk Cousins, because I think it was such a well-rounded victory, right? There's plenty of guys you could point to and say this guy was good or that guy was good. My thought was the offensive line played really well yesterday. I thought that, you know, the pocket was clean. You look at the touchdown we just came back with, the Ray McLeod. He's going through his options. Even the times they did get to him, I felt like coverage sack, or, you know, the one that was an incompletion that was almost a strip fumble. He's you know, kind of stepping up in the pocket and trying to get rid of it and just can't. So I thought they played extremely well yesterday at numerous times.
Yeah, I think you don't realize we haven't had the starting center for this team in
crazy, right?
5 weeks now.
Crazy.
And Newsel has stepped in, and I think he's done a pretty good job, man. You've had Bergeron go down. Remember Chris Lindstrom went down against Tampa, did not come back in the game, played the entire game. In fact, yesterday, I don't know if you guys caught it on the TV, but we have our sound effects, and you hear an expletive screamed at the end of a play.
Yeah.
And it was maybe a guy who may or may not play right guard for the Atlanta Falcons.
You call because him out without calling him out.
He was upset with himself on the play, and I'm not calling him out. I'm giving him love, because I absolutely love the competitiveness and the fire in a player who is upset because, you know, he didn't do his best on just one play. And yeah, he played well yesterday. The right tackle, who everyone wanted to kill all offseason that couldn't get the job done, has gotten the job done. I thought he played very well yesterday. Yeah. I thought Jake played well. They all played well.
Yeah, I think Caleb's having quietly one of his better seasons, and he might be one of the candidates for rising up tomorrow. But right now, let's hit him mic'd up. Really an awesome Saturday for me. Bama was off, so I didn't have to have that stress in my life. I headed up to Hamilton Mill and hung out with a bunch of good people up at Buffalo's Cafe. Shout out to Will, the leader of Mike's Mafia. Got a chance to meet him. Our buddy BJ, the Talladega ticket winner. And as well, another listener of the show. I just had such a good time up there. You know, got to look, man, mingle with some of the people out there that love listening to us every morning. I said, I'm sorry and thank you for listening. So good stop up there in Hamilton Mill, and shout out to everybody that was a part of that ordeal. Come home, wife and I get dressed, babysitter shows up. We headed down to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Shout out to Tim Z for hooking us up. If you listened to the show last week, was on here and I was like, hey, you think Mike Conte can hook it up? And Bo's like, I know people too. And you know what? To your credit, you do know people, because when I tell you I sat in some of the best seats I've ever sat in at any sporting event yesterday up in that Gold Wing Club, got to go in there and hang out. So I want to make sure we get back through this game. First of all, it was cool just to see Lionel Messi on the field. I was not at the game last time he was playing. So seeing him on the field moving around, he had a couple of electric moments where he was on touch of the ball for the large part, kind of passive in the game, which led to the fact that the crowd was entirely amped up, and I want to make sure we play the sound from the first goal, because Mike Conte took note.
It's over the head of Ronald Hernandez. It'll roll into the near touchline and be kept in play by Fortune. Over to Amador now, who will pitch from the left wing to the back post. Header! Score! This place is worse than bonkers. Atlanta United finds the equalizer with a half hour to play.
Definitely worse than bonkers at this point. So I'm sitting in the good seats I was able to have, and everybody in this look, we're not, you know, not in the supporter section. So everybody just, I mean, losing their minds. standing up around each other, high-fiving, going back and forth, chopping it up. At this point, I'm high-fiving service workers. There's like a sushi bar right behind me. He's like, let me get some of that sushi while I'm celebrating. Things were just losing their mind. I was like, dude, if I was out in the stands right now, I might be spraying beer all over the place. But nonetheless, a great time. And then, you know, you kind of settle into this United game, right? It's some back and forth. Messi has a moment. Miami hits the crossbar on one. Guzan a couple of big saves. And then you settle in. You go, man, we might be headed for, you know, we might be headed for PKs. We might be headed for a little bit of extra juice here at the end because you're tied 1-1. And in the 90th minute, you have Jean De Silva come on, and this happens.
Rios gets up under it to head it forward. Now it's loose in the middle, and it rolls to Rios. Rios passing to Moyamba. Ahead to Jean De Silva, top of the arc. Shot! Score! 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 With 30 seconds to play! What a team goal!
Inject that into my veins.
Jean De Silva gets his first goal of the playoffs with a minute to play. Atlanta United could be on the verge of going back to Fort Lauderdale. Can you believe it?
Inject that into my veins. I've been to so many cool sporting events. I've played in championship games. I've been to national titles and played in them. I've been all over the place as far as sporting events go. I almost headbutted my wife. Right after that, I almost looked at her and headbutted her right there. I was so rowdy. Shout out to the guy that was sitting in front of me. I didn't catch his name. High fives me. We're losing our minds. And he turns around and goes, hey, big fan of the show. Love the show. I was like, awesome, man. So it was really cool to be in that moment, that atmosphere, and those particular seats, man. Shout out to Bo, Tim Z, and everybody else that made it happen. Cool date night on Saturday night for me and the wife to get out of the house. And an electric, electric victory for Atlanta United to be able to send it back to Fort Lauderdale, like Mike Conti just said.
I mean, if I had told you that you would be sitting here and that we'd be going back to Miami for a third and final game in the first round of the playoffs, Jeff, after you fired Gonzalo Pineda, what, in June?
Yeah, and your three best players from the beginning of the season are not here.
Yeah. So it's pretty wild ride, and this is not
testament to the coaching too.
Absolutely. This is not a regular MLS team. I mean, this is a team that has Messi, the greatest soccer player possibly of all time.
It's the greatest regular season MLS team of all time. I think that's was it 74 points they got in regular season? Just insane. And you're able to pull it off and get it done, man. So hats off to everybody associated with Atlanta United. They've made us proud.
We'll see if you'll still be riding high when we come back in our next segment. We have a man up Monday for these two. Stick with us here. We'll be right back on Sports Radio 929, The Game. This is The Morning Shift.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.